Today I'm going to talk about mindfulness. Mindfulness is the process of just taking in the world as it is, looking at what is physically present to us without needing to change it, without our overlay of I like this or I don't like that, simply taking in the world in its simplicity. Buddhism has a term, suchness, seeing the suchness of ordinary things. Mindfulness is very grounding. Just the fact that when we do mindfulness, we're interrupting the monkey mind, the constant chatter in our head, that causes so much misery that anything that interrupts that naturally makes us calmer, you know. But there's something very grounding about being physically present, about arriving where we are. You know, there's this wonderful phrase in the Tao Te Ching, to arrive without traveling. You know, this idea of just suddenly being present where we are. That's part of what we're seeking in mindfulness. And mindfulness is magical at many different levels. One way to understand mindfulness is to talk a little about the brain. The brain has what neurologists call top-down and bottom-up circuits. Top-down circuits go from memory centers to perceptual centers. Bottom-up goes from perceptual centers to memory centers. When someone is an infant, for example, and they don't have many memories of the world, they're taking everything in. They're in their bottom-up circuits all the time. They're seeing and trying to encode that into memory. As we get older and we remember things, then we're in our top-down circuits. We look at something and then we instantly identify it. Oh, that's a chair. That's a shoe. We know what it is already. The advantage of the top-down circuits is that they're very efficient. You know, we don't have to want to have to refigure out what a fork is every time we see it. You know, that kind of thing. But the disadvantage of the top-down circuits, you know, especially in America where efficiency is everything, you know, people get 100% into their top-down circuits. And then what happens is essentially we're walking around in a world where we're seeing known, 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 known. Everything is known. And there's a way that we're experiencing our memory of the world rather than seeing it directly. And so everything becomes kind of flat and dull. The bottom-up circuits, they have a kind of magic to them. And in fact, a lot of the magic of childhood comes from the fact that children are in their bottom-up circuits. You know, you think about it, the way an infant is looking at everything with wide eyes, you know, that kind of thing. Mindfulness is about re-engaging the bottom-up circuits. You know, yes, we know what a fork looks like, but have I ever looked at this particular fork? Yes, I know what a shoe looks like, but have I studied, really taken in this particular shoe? And what this does is it opens up a kind of freshness. It opens up, you might say, a sense of wonder, a healthy sense of curiosity and exploration. I often think that curiosity is one of the most spiritual of all emotions, you know, just to have that wide open taking the world in. And so the practice of mindfulness, insofar as it re-engages our bottom-up circuits, adds an element of vitality and life to our experience of the world, rather than having everything just be same, 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 same. I really think of it as one of the insights of Buddhism that there's this profound link between happiness and our ability to pay attention. You know, And when we're not paying very careful attention, when we're kind of distracted, you know, if I'm distracted, then I'm mostly in myself and I'm not really present to what's out there. Mindfulness, and especially paying very close attention, the more vivid our attention becomes, the more vivid an experience we have of the world. It's very easy to underestimate, especially in the entertainment culture, how much our paying attention and the way we pay attention brings the world alive. So at a deeper level, mindfulness, you might say, brings out our deepest nature. It's not even so much about seeing the external objects, it's about who we become in the process of being in that mode. Now, first of all, from the point of view of Buddhism, mindfulness puts us in touch with our Buddha nature. Our Buddha nature is our essential witnessing capacity. Underneath all our other experience of the world, our thoughts, our emotions, everything else, there's a part of us that is simply seeing everything happening, witnessing everything happening. According to Buddhism, that's our Buddha nature. And that really to rest in that is profoundly calming. And mindfulness is ultimately about trying to get beneath all the chatter and everything else to be able to rest in that simple witnessing of the world. From the point of view of Christianity, you know, first of all, there's this wonderful quote from Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Really pointing to a sacred aspect in mindfulness. But I would also say, you know, there's many ways to talk about what God is, this being God. One way to talk about it is God is the witness of the entire world. God is the one who sees all of life unfolding. And there's this another wonderful psalm. This is Psalm 139. So I'll read a little of this. Let me get this thing open. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to attain. And so there's this profound witnessing, this deep seeing that is part of who God is, part of how God interacts with the world. And I think I would say, insofar as we are created in the image of God, insofar as we are more in that witnessing capacity, it's bringing out something noble in us. It's bringing out a way that you might say our divine inheritance. One way I think I would say it is that mindfulness is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always present, but I'm not going to be present to the Holy Spirit if I'm in my chatter, if I'm distracted, that sort of thing. It's only by becoming quiet and still and taking in everything else that the Holy Spirit's present becomes present to me. And so it's tricky to remember to be mindful. It's tricky to remember to practice mindfulness, especially in a world where we have a bazillion distractions. I mean, in America in 2021, we live in a world where there are billion-dollar industries that are designed to distract us. You know, the entertainment industry, the advertising industry. It's important to remember, I think, that remembering to be mindful It's not just merely one more task among other tasks. It's more an archetypal remembering of who we really are. This word remember we have in English. We have a similar sounding word dismember. To dismember is to, you know, when something is cut apart. To remember in this more etymological sense is a putting back together. It's the opposite of dismembering. It's like taking our fragmented self and gathering it into wholeness. And that's part of what mindfulness does. Because, of course, part of mindfulness, it's not just being mindful and observing everything in the outside world, but it's equally being mindful of all my feelings. What am I really feeling? What is really happening within me? And being the witness to that as well. So I'll ask you to look at the quote sheet. Okay, quotes on mindfulness. So first of all, a bunch of quotes from the Buddha. The way is not in the sky, the way is in the heart. That's just a beautiful one right there. Three things cannot hide for long: the moon, the sun, and the truth. You know, and mindfulness is just about seeing the truth of the world and the truth of who we are. Just as a snake sheds its skin, we must shed our past over and over again. And this again points to the difference of top-down and bottom-up circuits. So when I'm in my top-down circuits, I'm seeing only my memories. I'm seeing the past. I'm not seeing the present. Every experience, no matter how bad it seems, holds within it a blessing of some kind. The goal is to find it. And that's part of the magic of mindfulness also. We can remain mindful during a difficult experience rather than going into, you know, spinning off into thoughts of poor me and why does this happen and everything else. Mindfulness allows us to be present to the blessing in our experience. Be where you are, otherwise you will miss your life. And fundamentally, I'd say that's the one of the core values of mindfulness. We don't miss our life. We're actually there when life is happening. And finally, the Buddha said, if the problem can be solved, why worry? If the problem cannot be solved, worrying will do you no good. So then I have the quote from Psalm 46, and I have an excerpt from Psalm 139. I read a little bit of that already. Oops. Marcus Aurelius said, do every act of your life as though it were the very last act of your life. You know, and there's a kind of intention that comes from focusing that way. There's that wonderful story about St. Francis. You know, he was working in the garden one day, and a monk came to him and said, Brother Francis, if the angel came and said to you, you're going to die tomorrow, what would you do? And Francis said, I'd continue to work on the garden. You know, so just being so fully in life. James Baldwin said, to be sensual, I think, is to respect and rejoice in the force of life itself, to be present in all that one does, from the effort of loving to the breaking of bread. Choyin Trungpa, the Tibetan master, said, altogether, the idea of meditation is not to create states of ecstasy or absorption, but to experience being. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's written a lot about this, says, mindfulness is a way of befriending ourself and our experience. The Sufi master, Llewellyn Vaughan Lee, I've heard him speak a couple times. Every moment is unique, offering its own way to connect with what is deepest within us, to the wonder and mystery of being fully alive. A few quotes from Thich Nhat Hanh. Many people are alive, but don't touch the miracle of being alive. And that's a lovely way to phrase it. Being alive is a miracle. He also said, live the actual moment. This actual moment is life. This wonderful one, walk as if you are kissing the earth with your feet. You know, just the miracle of walking. What a gift it is to have the ability to walk. He also said, the present moment is filled with happiness and joy. If you are attentive, you will see it. You know, it's almost the message of all the wisdom traditions, that there's so much joy happening, and that basically we just have to invite ourselves to the party, but the party is happening, you know? Pema Chodron said a few things. Pema Chodron said, you are the sky. Everything else is just the weather. So again, pointing to that idea of Buddha nature, that the capacity to receive everything, that's who we really are. The actual thoughts and emotions, those are just like clouds going through the sky. She said, nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. So that's a deep one. Meditation practice isn't about trying to throw ourselves away and become something better. It's about befriending who we are already. And finally, she said, the most fundamental aggression to ourselves, the most fundamental harm we can do to ourselves, is to remain ignorant by not having the courage to respect, and the respect to look at ourselves honestly and gently. Jack Kornfield said, when we get too caught up in the busyness of the world, we lose connection with one another and with ourselves.
Kornfield?
Jack Kornfield, yes. So he also said, things that matter most in our lives are not fantastic or grand. There are moments when we touch one another. There's something profound there. I love Jack Kornfield.
Yeah.
Just emphasizing.
What was he?
He was still alive, and he's a writer, he's a psychologist, and he's a Buddhist meditation teacher.
Oh, okay.
And he also said, much of spiritual life is self-acceptance. Maybe all of it. Mm-hmm. That one's great. Tara Brach, who's also a psychologist, says, what would it be like if I could accept life, accept this moment exactly as it is? That's just a profound question. She also said, there's something wonderfully bold and liberating about saying yes to our entire imperfect and messy life. And finally, she said, the only way to live is by accepting each minute as an unrepeatable miracle. Amit Ray said, if you want to conquer the anxiety of life, live in the moment, live in the breath. And it is true that mindfulness is incredibly powerful for reducing anxiety. He also said, looking at the beauty of the world is the first step of purifying the mind. And a great place to start practicing mindfulness, be mindful of flowers, be mindful of bird songs, be mindful of trees, be mindful of all the beauty all around us. Rashid Ungalaru said, how you look is pretty much how you see it. We look at the world from a very dull sense, we look at a dull world. When I look with vivid attention, I see a vivid world. And he also said, the stiller you are, the calmer life is.